This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. General at your service. There's Broadus Krusty's Corners coming up at 3:40. He'll have film takeaways for you. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. You got Wolchuk and Chiafalo, and Carter Freeman is coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. How the heck you guys doing here today?
Hanging tough. I'm sure... These boys, after last night in the post game, they're wearing it big time on their faces.
Joy.
Yeah, he went pretty late last night.
Yeah, it went late.
I listened to quite a bit of it. It was outstanding work, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Anytime you go through one of those and then you get up, you watch the tape, you kind of learn about it, you have an idea, you know, it answers questions for you. There's just this team, it's tough to watch. It's tough to watch when they're capable of certain things and then they revert back to other things. You know, this, we understand where they're at with their defense. They're being held together with baling wire and tape right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not pretty. And, you know, I felt like that there was some times where they didn't have a really great plan for that, you know, for Kittle, and they didn't have a plan clearly for the quarterback running. That, I think, was huge in that game for them defensively. You knew that they were probably going to be able to run the ball against you.
Yeah.
But the explosive plays were, but Dallas has struggled with explosive plays. This is the offense.
I think they gave up 12 last night.
Yeah.
It's just incredible that they did enough in the fourth quarter to actually give themselves a chance.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing about it is you were so bad in the third.
Yeah.
Just so bad. And it puts you in a hole. And like the 49ers kind of encouraged you to stay around a little bit, you know, with like some of the stuff that they were doing. And
Shanahan, striking again a little bit. Third and one,
he puts Bell in the game. And that kid hadn't played the whole night. You know, they put him at wide receiver, and they're going to run a third and one little, trying like, you know, we're smarter than you play, instead of just handing the ball to Guerrero. And the next thing you know, that it's a first down, you know. And, you find ways to kind of keep you around in games, and Dallas just wasn't good enough to take advantage of it at the end.
No, they weren't. And that's unfortunate. You know, why do you think they looked so good for a couple drives in a row, and then all of a sudden, everything fell apart again for
pass
four
protection,
straight plays?
Pass protection got a little bit better. It's funny that I was just looking at the numbers, and I think I have this right. I think the Cowboys had more pressures than the 49ers did in this game when you look at the numbers. And it's kind of one of those it was one of those things where they kind of figured out how to get the ball to CD. And Zach and I talked about this in the halftime show. Zach goes, "Hey, what do you think?" And I'm like, "Listen, Max, protect this thing and get the ball to CD Lamb. That they can't cover CD Lamb in this game." And so they started protecting a little bit better. Dak found him. CD made some incredible catches.
He did.
But McCarthy, it's amazing with Mike as a play caller. He finds rhythm and then he loses rhythm, really almost series to series. It's like he can't help himself, that he's kind of always with that big play sheet. He's searching. And, you know, instead of kind of coming back to some things that maybe kind of helped him along the way, you know, it's like, I'm going to try a whole nother thing here. And it's hard to watch series to series. You just don't know what you're going to get out of that group.
No flow, and maybe it's a penalty that all of a sudden, now it's second and long, third and long, and it ruins a drive. Or it's okay, you have a Jake Ferguson open for a first down, and it sails, Dak sails it, and it's incomplete. The players definitely have a responsibility there, but the play caller too. I mean, you look at the Niners won the game. It goes touchdown, touchdown, touchdown in the third quarter. Cowboys are like a touchdown, here's a punt, here's an interception, here's a field goal, here's a punt, here's an interception.
Or it's here's three and out, here's three and out,
three and out. Three straight times, like, well, and you killed your defense.
Totally.
I mean, you killed your defense, any type of rest or anything. They never got off the field.
Or here's a short field for the Niners because Dak's just throwing up balls that we can't understand. It's just ridiculous. I mean, when you talk about all the offensive issues right now, Kurt Warner, his tweet, He says, man, this Cowboys tape is tough to watch again. Play design, details, execution, because I can't be sure which it is.
Yeah.
Dak not playing well, etc. It would be so frustrating watching that as an offense, watching back that that tape.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, when you're watching it, you're like, it's a the design, everything is just bad. From personnel to concepts.
Yeah, and it would get to it at 340 at the corner, but the thing that, you know, the first interception, you know, you watch the 49ers play, and it's, you see the crossing routes, and you see the movement and all, but you see routes married with other routes in order to clear space. You know, you look at the first interception, they run a, what we call a smash route or pivot route down, so that you got Turpin going vertical, and then underneath, you're just running a smash route. There's nothing holding the safety in the middle of the field. I mean, it's just like he sees the smash route, which is a route that's, you know, 4 or 5 yards up the field from Tolbert. He's not, there's nothing.
There's no threat.
There's no threat making that. And you watch the 49ers, there's a vertical route, and then here comes Kittle underneath with chasers, you know, with guys. And it's, so you get a clear, and they, you know, Dallas is capable of it because when they got CD open on the goal line, it was two inside across and then one under. Mm. So now you're getting guys, you know, you got the 49ers in a bad spot because they have a communication problem over on their left side over there. Ward and the Mustafa, they have a communication problem, and now Lamb's running, but you ran stuff to clear space to get a guy back in space that you just cleared.
Even on the deep wide open Lamb touchdown.
Yeah.
And the two defenders run into each other because your situation with a little bit of motion.
Well, yeah, they switched spots is what happened when they switched spots, that put the safety on Lamb. And now you're having a little bit of that collision right there.
Right, but their entire offense is not predicated on that. It's just, here's a random play there. It's like, oh, there was like a glimpse of a good design, that's it.
Yeah.
And it's extremely, I mean, 12% snap motion last night.
Wow. You know, I felt like when they did do it, it was good. That's what the frustrating thing is, they use it like it's a trick play.
Yeah.
Instead of what gives, you know.
And then, but then in the biggest moments,
in the
balance moments, go win the game moments.
Yeah.
It's static. Here we go.
Always.
Straight drop back. No creativity. We'll heave one up to Turpin, who's never caught a ball down the sideline since he's been in the NFL. Yeah. And we'll do that to him on 3rd and 10. Just killing you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think it sometimes it's shocking at others, like a theme of the text. It's like, we know who this team is. You know, I think last night, because of the way that it ended, you know, it was a little bit dramatic. And then you had the blowout before that. But we've kind of known this is who they are since March, right? I mean, they took away from the depth of the team. They didn't draft well. They didn't sign anybody. We've 3-4 actually is not horrible. You know, I'd say record wise,
right.
They're about to get even worse.
I mean,
you look at the schedule. You know, I hope people realize it. Like, so I was out last night. I was with Walt and his guys, the Best for Business guys. We were hanging out at Playmaker 88 in the Colony, Michael Irvin spot.
Nice.
Had a great time.
I bet, dude.
Salute to everybody there. They really know how to get a Cowboys watch party going properly. And Michael Irvin is just a freaking legend to watch that man in his natural environment interacting with the Cowboys fans. It was special. But, you know, as they come back and then afterwards, I'm just like, I was shocked at how many people were stunned that this Cowboys team isn't good. How much more evidence do you need? Do you allow yourself to get convinced that they're good again in the blink of an eye? Like, I just need a couple of touchdowns and I'm back to believing. Like, the Cowboys have snapped out of it, what we've seen for six and a half games up to this point. And now here they are, finally in week 8, halfway through the fourth quarter, snapping into being good. It's like, no, we know that somehow Dak has a knack for making the comeback to within one score and then falling flat on his face. You know, there's something between the way the opposition plays defense and a switch that goes off in his head that it's freaking go time when he's down 3 scores in the fourth quarter and he's about to light it up. Even CD Lamb thought he was back there for a second. He was on the sideline like, yep, we're going to get the ball. We're going to the house. Can't anybody stop us? Mm-hmm. And then the clock struck midnight again.
Yeah, but I get it because it's the magic of sports, and because we've seen it before where it feels like there's a switch that gets flipped for any particular team on a particular, and you're like, man, that could be my team.
Yeah.
Okay. And then all of a sudden they do give you some of that reason to believe where it's back to back drives. I mean, geez, they score. They go from just like being able to do nothing and it's just blink of an eye punt, blink of an eye punt, blink of an eye punt. And then lighten it up, Dak to Lamb. All of a sudden, it's back to last year's connection, pushing the ball down the field. And they have a drive that they score in like less than a minute. You're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, they tease you. They tease you just enough to make you think like, okay, this is possible. And it is the beauty of sports. We've seen teams that seem like they had no business making the postseason end up going on crazy runs to win Super Bowls, whether it was the Packers or the two Giants Super Bowls, or you name them. I mean, we've got several we could fall back on. I think the thing that hurts the most, though, is the players, and I talked to this about this with Brian last night, the guys that they have given second contracts to are really letting them down. And they're not playing well.
All season.
They might just be bad second contracts. And it might be something they need to look at because we're all about draft and develop. And we want to re-sign our own. But if you're going to re-sign your own and you're not going to get the return on investment, then the strategy's flawed and it ain't working. I mean, go down the list here. Their highest paid guy is Dak. Is he playing well?
No.
Zach Martin, is he playing well?
No.
Trayvon Diggs?
No.
C.D. Lamb?
No. Well, I mean, no.
Last night had a good game. But overall,
they're just
underwhelming.
Exactly.
Micah Parsons hurt.
His numbers extrapolated are crazy, but they don't tell the
Lawrence,
story.
Yeah, tank. Brandon Cooks, was he doing anything for you?
No.
Donovan Wilson?
No. Awful.
Terrence Steele?
Awful.
These are all guys that, I mean, they're the highest percentage of your salary cap, and outside of Brandon Cooks, and Mike is about to get paid, they're all on second contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the biggest one of those is, you know, Steele. You know, you're giving $20 million for a below average right tackle at this point, and he was hurt. You know, I think that's the biggest thing is they invest in their players and they make them into household names. And then when they're hurt and a smart team would say, oh, you're hurt. Well, we got to give you a lot less money then because chances are you're not going to be as good as what you were. They're like, no, we're partners now. And here's a giant bag of money. Okay.
Yeah, it's the worst position to be in when they talk about their salary cap being out of order. They can't afford players, but their roster also is not good. And so now you're a bad football team. You're paying for, what are you paying for? You're paying a lot of money.
For underachievers right now.
Be picking in the top 10.
Yeah.
It's the worst position to be in.
Yeah. And now it's like post-game. They're taking turns getting mad at reporters. 2 weeks ago, it was Jerry. Bye week. Now we're right back into it. Bye week didn't cool them off. They're ticked off at the world for pointing out their flaws. Trayvon Diggs coming after Mike Leslie. Okay, so that might be the best development is you can get your popcorn out and tune in for Cowboys players mad at the media. You know, I think once the boss does it, it's like when you're a coach and you start yelling at the refs, all the fans start yelling at the refs. Now, you know, you've helped create that reality or that narrative for your fan base, and I think everybody's just going to go along with you, you know? So this is, you know, going to get fun probably for a couple of weeks, and then it'll peak, and everybody will be exhausted by it, and we'll just slip into the normalcy of the Cowboys being a failure at some point. But for the short and, you know, medium term here, this is going to be a can't-miss radio, I think, in the postgame. With these players going after our guys. Who was it? Knew he had the great angle last
night.
Knew
he had good audio of it.
All those guys were ready to bust out the cell phone on that one.
Man.
I think at this point, Sunday, you're rolling in there like, okay, here we go. How bad did Atlanta beat them? And who's about to go off? You know, we can't turn on. Don't turn your camera off. You got to keep that thing rolling here. Fire for the next 90 minutes.
Hey, but we don't worry about the distractions, right? We don't care about what the outside noise is. You know, we're worried about the men in this locker room right now. We're not hearing it. We're not reading the clippings.
Was it less than 60 seconds for Diggs to walk in the locker room and pick up his phone with his shoulder pads and everything still on? Probably his sweaty hands. And
what are these people saying about me?
Right.
Didn't
into
he
his
have
mentions?
A pretty good game?
I thought he played well for
his standard. Yeah. It was the most physical game I've ever seen him play.
He had four run game tackles. Run game, and you're kind of like thinking,
well, even just taking on blocks.
I was watching it thinking, okay, you know, what's Mike Leslie doing here? And I think this is why the kid got mad. I think he got mad because,
like, man, this is the one game I've actually kind of stuck my nose in.
I totally get why he's being mad. Just the reaction of it's like, dude, why do you care? Don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are going to be saying stuff all the time. You're one of the highest paid corners in football. You play for the Dallas Cowboys. You're going to get trolled. We get trolled every day sitting here just doing radio. You can't get pulled off sides that easily. That's an overarching problem. You can't be that emotional.
Mm-hmm. What was he talking about? Like, is that your takeaway? Was he talking about Donovan Wilson's failed hand? He couldn't grab the guy?
Leslie was questioning the fact that his effort to try and get to the try and make the tackle along the sidelines was not as where it needed to be.
Right. It could have been better.
It could have been better.
He still had many plays like that last night where unless he has to, where it's like, I'm clearly the guy here. I have to kind of throw my body into it, and he did that plenty
They tried to run the ball his direction a couple times, and he came up and took guys on.
Got knocked around
a little bit, but he was far more physical. I've seen him play worse in when it comes to physicality, and you know, no one ever said anything. And I think that that's the one thing, like, he's like, well, damn, I actually got some grass stains on my uniform tonight, and they're calling me out for this. But yeah, he's got to handle that differently than
I was fired up just to see him like standing there and firing words out, because usually like the words are struggling to make their way out like two or three at a time with his answers. I mean, he was on it. He was fired up last night.
The D's nuts at the end was pretty just amazing.
Yeah, let it flow.
What an exclamation point on that.
They're not in preseason anymore. They played seven games.
Is somebody talking about preseason?
I don't think you guys are factoring in that they are pretty much in preseason because everyone wasn't there. Again, because of Jerry's brilliant negotiations. I think we're past that. That's like Steven coming on today and still harping on, well, this is a lot of the same guys that have won 12 games in the regular season the last 3 years. Who gives a damn?
You let six players walk in the offseason and didn't replace them. You don't have the depth. I think that's unfortunate because you're hanging the players out to dry, like by pretending like your roster is good enough. And you're hanging these fans out to dry as well that apparently can't look and think for themselves about how good a football team is based on what they've seen over seven games. Okay, Mavs are 1-1. They'll be hosting the Jazz tonight. You got a big salute to our friends at Two Skillets Catering for bringing us by some lunch today. That was outstanding.
Great food. How about that, man?
Yeah. If you got an event that you want to get some great food for, call Two Skillets Catering. Mike Leslie is coming up from WFAA at 6 o'clock. What do we got next, Woolchuck?
Let's do a little NFL true or fart. We got overreactions from Week 8. That's next in the nation.
Welcome back, Nation. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. The last Flagtober stop is Wednesday at Whataburger off 161 in Grand Prairie. Your last chance to pick up the iconic, unique, one-of-a-kind 2024 G-Bag Nation flag. That's Wednesday, G-Bag Nation in Grand Prairie. Here's Woolchuck with some NFL stuff.
All right, let's do it. Let's do an overreaction Week 8 edition of NFL True or Fart. Take it away, Robert Flores.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or far, false, Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
All right, let's get to the fart false thing. Eric Chiafalo, true or fart, the Dallas Cowboys should massively regret signing Dak Prescott to an extension.
Yes, I mean, even I, who was against it, would still say, like, I don't know that it's going to be this bad over the course of the next 4 years. I don't know if this is exactly what you're signing up for the next basically half decade. But yes, I think many of us were pretty convinced on the front end of this deal happening that it didn't need to. But unfortunately, this is where we are.
I think they got what they paid for. You know, when you have a franchise quarterback, you are tricking your fans into believing you have a shot. And from what I can tell with this fan base, enough of them believe. It's good return on investment for those Jones boys. Great investment, guys. Money keeps rolling in.
Man, I was a signed guy, and I'll still say a signed guy, but with the caveat is I need a new play caller. I need somebody different coaching him. I need somebody different in his ear. I need somebody different trying to scheme some things up for him. It's not good right now. I mean, he's not seeing the field particularly well. He's forcing the ball.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of things that he's not doing right, but I also feel like his play caller is absolutely not helping him one single bit.
Agreed.
It's 100% fair.
And I would love to see what he looks like with a McVay or an O'Connell or a Shanahan or a LaFleur and one of these other guys, maybe Ben Johnson, if that could become a reality.
I'd just like to see somebody that can get guys open for him, because what he did for those two drives were with guys being open.
Sure.
With separation and some creativity to it. You know, CD made a couple of really nice catches for him. But this offensive line is a mess. You know, you've got a Hall of Famer that's regressing at right guard. Your right tackle's not very good right now. Your left tackle actually played pretty well.
Nice.
As a, you know, that, if you want to see a positive.
It's a positive.
But I would like to, if he gets into a situation where, and you got 4 years, and that's probably what a new coach is going to get, right, in this league. So if you get a new coach in here and a guy schemes up some things, your investment might look good. If not, it's going to be one of the worst investments you've ever made.
I mean, the great news is that he's still the guy who can be top three in MVP voting, right? Get him protection, get him weapons, get him a running game, right? He's the same exact guy he's always been, and it's just, you know, you're in a race against the clock right now. Yeah. Can he put that team back together?
Well, do you think he still can be without having any use of his legs at all?
That's what I'm saying. If he's not willing to get bloodied and muddied in these games, then he's probably not.
He wasn't last year, though.
Well, I mean, he had a little bit more willingness to run.
He had a couple of moments.
Yeah, he had a little bit more willingness to run. Right now, he is not willing to run at all.
Yeah, it's a third and five. He hands it to Lipke to start the game. Just a brutally awful play call. Mm-hmm. But Dak could have pulled it. He had Ferguson out there lead blocking for him. Right, sure. He could have pulled it, and it looked like it was pretty open to at bare minimum get the needed 5 yards to move the chains, and he didn't do it. It's like, that's a perfect example of this dude has no interest in running the ball.
You think he was running around in the Dak yard making plays and rolled it or something? Pulled it?
I think
all. And that's how he had to get booted in the offseason?
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, all those don't worry about it bits. There's something there. We talk about
flexibility. Whenever he doubles down on don't worry about it, it's because it hurts still and it's an issue.
Well, flexibility, you know. I mean, maybe he's just not as quick, or maybe he can't plan on it and go like he needs to. You know, I'll say that, and I'll, at 3:40, I'll get into it, because one of the interceptions I want to talk about is footwork.
Okay, yeah, the footwork, I think, is always critical with Dak, mm-hmm. always, especially when it comes to accuracy.
He's ran the ball 10 times this season for 24 yards. Last year, he ran it 55 times.
Wow.
So he's certainly not on pace running for 55.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to go with Drew on this just because they're going to use the cap excuse, and I don't think he's going to be able to get a much more talented roster around him. This is kind of what you're going to be dealing with, because they're just not going to be able to work around it and get creative and try and add some pieces here to help around him. So this is kind of what you're seeing play out. Okay, Drew.
Just got to nail the drafts, man.
Yeah, you got to nail the drafts. You got to make sure you nail the drafts.
You got to do the thing that no one's ever done, go 100% every single year.
So there's a silver lining there. Because of what's happened, at least in last year's draft, maybe this year's draft, at least you're not going to have to give top-of-the-market money. So as the schedule plays out for the salary cap, you should, in theory, have some money allocated to maybe go buy other teams' free agents. Because you're not going to have to pay Mozzie, and you're not going to, you know, Guyton's not trending to be the next great left tackle. We'll see how these next couple of years go.
Okay, Atlanta coming up next year. Ryan brought us the Falcons signing of Kirk Cousins has lived up to expectations.
I would say that's true. They were looking for a quarterback. That was a team that was a top 10 offense, they had a top 10 defense last year. Probably should have been a playoff team. And their quarterback play was awful. So, yeah, Kirk Cousins has definitely give them a shot in the arm that they needed.
I don't give him too much credit for it, though, because they also drafted Penix, you know? If you really believed in Cousins and were like, oh, yeah, guard our guy, scoreboard, here we come, NFC South, you would have drafted somebody that could have helped Kirk Cousins, not threaten him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I would
and
say.
I'm a Penix guy. You know that, Chief.
I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah. I mean, I'm not giving them any credit for it just because they botched. Their offseason was weird, but this is the expectation that you would have. If you got Kirk Cousins, you're an average team. You have a good chance of winning what most people believe to be the worst division in football, and you'll get the opportunity to lose in the playoffs in the wild card round. And that's where they're pacing.
Is he a $45 million quarterback? Is that what he is?
Yeah, I think he's 40 or 45.
He could have pulled that ball. Could have pulled the ball.
Dak could have pulled the ball on third and five easily.
Time now to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander. How's your G-Bag of the day?
Yeah, yeah. What's going on with everything and everybody's? And everybody's what's going on?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
tough you. One.
I feel you.
Happy Monday, Lucius.
Hey, man, how you doing, dog?
Hanging tough, dude.
Yeah, hanging tough.
Shout out to that lunch that got provided. Man, that was delicious. Yes, now I'm feeling great.
Yes, shout out to that chicken. That whole lot of guacamole I covered it with. All right, when we last left off, Big Nate Newton was on the Cowboys. Was that the Cowboys hour or Cowboys Crosstalk?
Oh, Cowboys Crosstalk.
Cowboys Crosstalk, excuse me. Yeah, he's on the Cowboys Crosstalk. He said Troy Aikman was right about these sloppy receivers, and he stood on business.
No way in the world can you ever, ever have your wide receivers not running wide open because you are distorting the next man route. When you are so selfish that you cannot get off the ball when you know you got a deep post so my man Fergie can come underneath and catch that ball for a first down. That is selfish, that is wrong, and it ain't gonna never be right in my eyesight. Troy had that spot on. You can't have a body language where you getting ready to run a snap, you sitting there and your stance just stuttering. Man, take off. Drive through that guy inside shoulder, slant so we can get this guy over the top because they're going to bring the safety and the linebacker down there on you. So now we got Cooks or the other boys streaking down the field. Come on, man. That was right.
That's the kind of veteran talk that some of these guys need to hear. Get Nate Newton in there. You're destroying the other guy's routes.
All right, let's see what we got. I call it Stormy, my name. You guys familiar with the singer named Loomis?
No.
No, sir.
I wasn't either until like Friday afternoon.
Damn, very familiar.
She fumbled a national anthem.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah. After I did my research, I gave her a follow. I was like, hey, I'm trash. Whatever. I'll give you a follow. Players mess up. Anyway, she sang the national anthem for the independent candidate debate. This was live on C-SPAN.
Uh-oh.
It was live.
Through the perilous fights, for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets, red glare. Can I go back, please?
What?
We're live. Bombs bursting. Nervous.
Yeah.
Gave parole through the night.
Got too high, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got a little too nervous.
Simon Cowell would be tearing her ass up right now.
Oh, that was dreadful, Daryl.
Dreadful.
Yeah, that'd be a no for me, dog.
That's so independent, you know, of her. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
The independent debate. Couldn't even get somebody that knows the anthem.
At least there was only 13 people watching live.
Good Lord, bro.
You're not a real American. You got to choose a side.
I've never actually seen that one done before.
What?
Where they just in the stop. Middle of it, they just kind of, they break the
she
wall.
She thought she was like, it was recording. And anyway, can we she start hoped. All over again?
Oh. And then the floor guy goes, no, you're live.
Nah, you're totally live, babe. During LA Live, I'll have her explain it all to you and everything. Oh, she apologized. She's so sorry. So sorry. Yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing. Ah!
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes and Reverend Ike. Oh, yes. Reverend Ike. I would play you a viral clip of Freddie Haynes that I seen last week, but I know where I am. I know what it is. So I'll play you these right here. We have two clips of some pastors calling out some members of their congregation. I don't know if they should be doing it this way.
Uh-oh.
Pastor told some folks that were leaving early. When you leave church early, you do the church finger, right? You take your index finger and you point it up towards God. That means mine, God's business, and not mine. So when you're leaving church early, you put your church finger up.
So you just walk out like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
Don't be judging me.
Man, like, just give me a sec. I got to use the restroom. I'll be right back.
Recipes. Okay. So we have a pastor right here. They were leaving church early. I don't know if Pastor was a fan of it.
But yes, required. Y'all stop walking now. Sit down!
Sit down.
Good heck on that.
What's wrong with you? Did y'all hear me?
I got a turkey in the oven. Been here 2 hours. Yeah. Sorry.
No, Pastor.
Did you hear me?
I hope your car don't start. That's what he said at the very end.
Oh, yeah.
Fried chicken yeah. grease getting hot. Gotta get home.
Ooh.
Sunday dinner. Sunday dinner.
Hallelujah. Praise God in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me see what we got right here. Why did this pastor call out this brother Andre like this?
But dude, somebody tell brother DeAndre to praise God and stop sitting there looking like a lump on the log. I say God said he's going to do everything new.
God says going to do everything new.
He had some rhyming going on, though.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why DeAndre's sitting there like a bump on the log. Get it together, DeAndre. Last one right here. Depressed Cowboys fan.
I'm
trying to find my baby.
Oh, come on.
Send her home to me.
Oh, my Lord. Woo. Yeah, he's back with another one right here in the key of Kendrick Lamar.
In the game. Mike McCarthy on the beat, hope we won't win another game any week, bro. We won't be the playoff team because we stink, bro. Got me putting on my shoulder pads. I'm walking around like Tizo. Why running game so bad? I be really thinking. Who the fuck we got for GM? Because he really stinks. This year, our GM used to coach Abe Lincoln. The window for that Super Bowl is steady shrinking. The family matter and the truth of the matter. It was God's plan to show y'all we sorry ass team. We a Super Bowl fraud. Sorry ass team. We a Super Bowl fraud. Hey, 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 pick another team. Hey, 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 pick another team. Sorry ass team. We a Super Bowl fraud. Sorry ass team. We a Super Bowl fraud. Hey, 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 pick another team. Hey, 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 pick another team. Are we locked in? Hell no. Are we going to win? Hell no.
Hell no. Oh my gosh.
Strong.
Again.
He's automatic,
two
dude.
Two.
Pure gold.
Wow.
I think that might be 3 for 3 now. As far as
oh,
his,
is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he did 149. He did a few of them for other teams. Yeah. And out here.
That's good.
All right. We got a champ. We got three challengers. Is it Nate Newton on the Cowboys' selfish wide receivers? Is it singer Loomis messing up the independent debate national anthem over the weekend? RFK still in there? RFK leading the independents? Is it pastor calling out congregation for leaving? Is it pastor calling out DeAndre or the depressed Cowboys fan? I watched like a 45-minute RFK interview a couple months back. He was on fire the whole time, right? I was like, yes. I mean, he was talking about our business and how things got weird in the 80s and then again around 2000 with Stern and everything. But the whole time I was like, man, this guy needs a synthesized voice or something.
Oh, it's tough. Yeah.
It'd be like, I don't know if I could do this for 4 years watching his addresses of the nation. You know,
it sounds.
Could you just write? Could you write your speech? When do we go, like, Stephen Hawking?
Have Morgan Freeman read it for you? It
sounds painful.
Yeah, you can get one of those AI voices to dictate your videos these days. RFK,
that's true.
Okay, I'm gonna go with our champ, Nate Newton. Chief, how about you?
I'm gonna go with old Loomis,
Lucius.
Yeah, me too, Loomis.
We're at 2-1, Wolchuk.
I'm gonna go with the depressed Cowboys fan song.
Yeah, depressed Cowboy fan.
We're tied at 2. You jump on to @GBagNation and vote there at the break. Is it the singer Loomis who messed it up, or is it the depressed Cowboys fan who tore it up once again? Okay, coming up next here, Chief, where are we going?
Best of the weekend, let's laugh at someone else's pain from the sports weekend next year in the nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan, coming up at 3 o'clock. NFL News Today at 4 o'clock. Today's the Mike McCarthy press conference. 1 hour from right now, you'll get Krusty's Corner. So just an absolutely packed Cowboys Monday here as we survey the damage. Here's the Chief with your best O of the weekend.
Man, you got to think there could have been an alternate reality, a different version, a different type of weekend for Kevontae Turpin had he not chirped back at the Aikman stuff. You know, maybe there was a different way this could have all played out. You know, if he just kind of wore that and decided to apply it to himself. You never know if you're going to get a 3rd and 10 opportunity inexplicably.
Yeah.
That your coach is going to dial up you, the guy who's never gone down the sideline and caught a ball in a Cowboys uniform.
Yeah.
They're going to go for you when the game's in the balance. Don't worry, Kevontae. They're not going to do anything design-wise to help you get open.
You know, pure self-confidence is amazing. I think, though, when it veers into the delusional and you can't be as self-aware enough to know that you're messing up, you're not good, and the outsiders are, in fact, just criticizing you. They're not hating or trying. Trust me, nobody wants you guys to be bad.
And speaking of that, depressed Cowboys fan is your G-Bag of the Day champion, winning a poll
Look
a
at
vote
that.
On at G-Bag Nation 78-22. Congrats.
All right. It's another banger. Here we go. Now, Walchuk and I went to Sean's house for a little Halloween gathering on Saturday night, and Walchuk really left it all on the field, man. He did. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see the photo of his wrist that went a little bit viral. People with concern late on Saturday night after his wrist swelled up from a falling into the pool while carrying the baby scenario took place.
Wow. She got her first swim lesson, huh?
You ain't kidding, bro.
Just throw the toddler in, see how she floats.
Child Protective Service knocked on your door
yet? It's like a swinging chair that's next to the pool. We're just chilling, having a good time. Walchuk's sitting there with the lovely little Eliza, having a good time. Walchuk gets, like, I guess, a little too swingy, and the thing tips backwards, and he, the chair, and the baby all flip backwards. And he's dressed up as Eric from The Little Mermaid.
And she's the Little Mermaid.
And she's the Little Mermaid.
I guess maybe it was.
Ironically enough.
Yeah, we end up in the pool.
So she was submerged.
The swing supports just kind of lifted off the ground and swung you.
I don't know.
How did we get failure?
It's like a single person swing. I don't know. Sean says he's had this chair for forever. No one's ever fallen in it except for 2 weeks ago when his mother-in-law did for the first time. He's had this chair for forever.
It's gotten too old.
Exactly. So then Walchuk tested it a little bit, and he was in it for a little while. Everything was smooth, but then there was a little lean back deal. Boom. Tip over, flip
into
backwards. Now we're racing to pull the chair up. Walchuk the whole time. Baby completely safe. It was honestly an amazing heroic dad moment. Didn't fumble at all. High and tight. Walchuk secured it, and everything was fine.
We definitely both submerged, but the immediate reaction
she didn't
was like,
anything. No,
she's totally fine. I injured myself, but I didn't care. I was like, baby, out water. Just get her out of the water, and had a lot of support. I believe Christian Bobby's wife came running over, took Eliza, got her inside.
Did Bobby come waddling over?
She was, no, Bobby wasn't there.
He was in San Francisco.
Oh, he's in San Francisco. Yeah. That's
Bobby
right.
He was waddling elsewhere.
So
Did baby cry?
They got her changed, and she was totally fine. Yeah, Maya was totally fine. She's like, yeah, baby's, she didn't care about me. It was like, and neither did I, really. It was like, is the baby okay?
Yeah, nobody did.
Sean gives me some clothes. I change, and then I think we were just like sitting there having a good time, and I looked down and was like, what the hell?
Yes, all of a sudden, like an hour later, we looked down at his wrist because he wasn't acting like he was in any pain. At no point did he say, oh, yeah, I kind of like hurt myself. But we looked down and there's like literally a golf ball size swelling in his wrist.
Somebody said it was gout. I was reading
really?
The comments. Somebody goes, hey, Sean goes, is this something we need to get checked on? And some guy goes, looks like gout. And I'm like,
can you get gout of the hands?
Gout of the wrist.
Gout of the wrist. Well, yeah, it swelled up pretty bad, but Walchuk was moving it. He could make a fist and everything. Everything seemed to be fine, but Walchuk's mom saw the photo on Facebook, and she started making calls to Walchuk to make sure he was okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I guess, and Walchuk was playing it super, super tough, but you ended up doing a little doc-in-the-box action?
Yeah, as soon as we got home, Maya and I were just like, just go get it looked at. So I just went to one of those, you know, local urgent care.
D and the B's.
I was in and out an hour. They were like, it's a hematoma. That's why it swelled up so bad, and it's just a sprain. X-rays were negative. So iced it up. Swelling's way down. It was fine. No big deal.
Crazy night. Crazy time.
You don't realize how you did it. Did you hit the side of the pool?
I have honestly...
Good news is he flipped in right into like basically sort of the walk-in area of the pool. So you're only talking about like a foot of water or so.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Like that part of the pool they fell into. It wasn't like they fell into a deep end and now they're, you know, all the way down at the bottom of the pool or anything like that.
No.
So that
could have been the sidewall. It could have been part of the chair. I don't know. The head's a little bit concussed, sore. It's whatever.
Do we need to call the Frankels here?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I
will say. Like they might have homeowner negligence.
Yeah. Sean's insurance paid up?
It's fine.
Sean was a little concerned. He's like, you sure you're fine, Walchuk? He was like, anything you need, ice pack, whatever.
You're not going to see.
It was kind of the nicest thing.
He's like scrubbing the video footage from his security cameras.
I wonder why we didn't get that footage.
Never got the footage. Never did get to see it. Unfortunately, or fortunately for us, I guess, we did get to see the unveiling of the Dwayne Wade Statue of the Weekend. How did you guys take that in? Because that was
he didn't look too happy at
I
all.
Thought it was like an AI generated fake, like, this isn't the real one, is it? This is a fake one. The internet's got
I just
a hold
wonder
of something.
Why is it so difficult to make a good statue? What are we missing here? Because they should just retire the idea. They should say we're attempting to make a statue of somebody, but if it turns out like all of the other sports statues, we're not going to put it up. We need to just do a mold of the guy's face. You know, you can do this with
just
plaster.
Do a bust. Just go to Canton and let the NFL make you a bust of your guy.
I think so. You know, I think there's a better way to do it. I don't think this is honoring me. This is some weird like Halloween version of me.
This is a true disrespect to the man, but it's hilarious because I don't know what type of face he's making. They're supposed to be screaming out of competitive excitement from a throwback Miami moment that he had, but it just looks like he's a crying baby with a jaw that is way too big for his own face, and he's also eating something sour at the exact same time. People are calling him Morpheus from The Matrix.
Who looks a lot more like Antoine Walker.
Or Thanos.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanos. I know Carter's messing around with some of the images there on the Twitch and the YouTube for you so you can get to see it. If you haven't seen the Dwayne Wade statue unveiling outside of the Miami Heat arena, which I believe is still named after the failed crypto scheme, but it gets unveiled and then it goes viral immediately because his face, it looks extremely weird. His hands are doing something weird. He's pointing at something like the Dirk one's awesome. And apparently whoever was a part of the Dirk one was in some way a part of this one as well, but also at the same time, apparently Wade himself was pretty in the mix on the making of this.
Dirk was involved in paying the dude off to make it look jacked up.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, as soon as you said that, that's what I thought of. Was this an inside job?
Sabotage?
Yeah. Yeah, sabotage. Want this to look a little wonky?
Give you an extra $100,000 if you make that thing look wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this isn't the first time that Wade has been like in the middle of being honored, but also he gets disrespected in the midst of it. This is not the first time it's happened. This is some years ago, and he gets this is at the Miami Heat arena. There's a huge event for him, and this is how the Miami City Council lady welcomes him into the moment.
Collective has a will to win, because his name, of course, is Wade Jones.
Oh, no.
That is not real.
Dwayne Jones.
Oh, my
how you're
gosh.
Taking in that sound is how I took in seeing the visual of the statue in his face and thinking, this can't be real. How did that happen? He was introduced as Wade Jones after being a two-time champion for the city of Miami, being at the Miami Heat Arena, and that's what the lady belched out.
Man.
And now you fast forward like a decade later, and this is the worst statue we've seen since the Ronaldo one. And
oh,
we know
that
was a sabotage.
Bad.
That was an intentional disrespect. And this one feels similar. Feels personal.
This is the greatest thing to happen in the Mavs Heat rivalry in decades.
Bro, anytime the Heat come to town, we need to have like big time
Wade Jones.
Just like
Wade
they did the David Jones. Hasselhoff thing. We need to have Wade Jones chants, and we need to have that face of that stupid Thanos Morpheus looking crap statue that they just farted out there in Miami over the weekend.
Well, Miami's the worst sports fans, dude. They leave a finals game like they all pulled a Brian Broaddus 2012 or whatever that was.
Let me back in.
At least let my friend back in. Yeah. My fault. Gosh. NFL news today coming up next. Wolchuk, where are you taking it?
Tap outs, Hail Marys, and tight ends. That's next.